Okay, our short marriage wisdom, we're on number three. Number one was communicate. We told you how to communicate, you know, figure out what time you're leaving. It's not the looking into her eyes and saying all the lovely things. It's figuring out how to live with the woman and how the woman can live with the man to communicate. Number two was kids. The kids, when you're raising kids, they will use you. Them little fellers are smart. That 14-month-old grandson I've got uses me all the time. I get in trouble all the time. We had him down there at the where we were cooking yesterday. I was not a part of this. I wasn't even accomplished. I was an innocent bystander who did not say no. All right, so that's my part. But you know, he's 14 months old, he's running around, and he runs up to, I mean, y'all know Rusty Redden, runs up to Rusty, and Rusty's got a glass of iced tea, sweet iced tea, pretty really sweet iced tea, and runs up there, and Trenton wants some, so he gives him a little drink, and Trenton turns around, runs, and gets about 10 foot, and turns around, and says, that was good, and right back to him. He drank that whole cup about the time his mama come down there to pick him up. So we were all in trouble. Anyway, kids, third one, today, just real quick, is money. If you're married, the number one source or reason for divorce in America is money, according to Dave Ramsey. It's the stress of trying to make a daily living and just being in a marriage, and money's the number one reason why people get divorced. So in your marriage, y'all figure out what to do with money. I highly recommend that you find out what God says to do about money and do it that way, because that works. Amen? All right. Got a question for you this morning. Dang, this thing keeps going off. Honey, you may have to come up here and work this thing. Got it. Got a question for you this morning. If God said, I'll give you anything, what would you ask for? Now, as we go along here, I want you to remember, you don't have to tell me what it is, but remember, what would you ask for? Go to Proverbs 3. Oh, yeah. Everybody get your Bibles out. I forget that. Proverbs 3. Verse. No, I tell you what. Let's go somewhere else first. Go to 1 Kings. Just one change. Go to 1 Kings. I'm going to read you a story. 3. I'm going to read this story, starting in verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, which was a no-no. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Same question I just posed to y'all, right? He's the king, but God himself comes for him and says, what do you want? This is what he says. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a child. I know not how to come in or to go. I know not how to go out or to come in. That's a king who's just got his kingship, sitting there going, I don't know what I'm doing. Pretty smart place to be, right? If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing. There ain't no sense in, acting like it. You're going to get caught at some point. Verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor continued or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, or thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be among thee the kings like unto thee all thy days. If we really understood what wisdom was, that's what we'd be asking for. But the truth is, we don't understand wisdom. Is that true? How many of y'all, wisdom was the thing that you were going to ask for? If it was, it's because you know the story, right? But it's not something that's going to naturally come up and go, that's what I want. I want wisdom. Go on to verse 16. And, you know, 14 and 15 says he woke from his dream and knows that God's going to give him wisdom. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She laid on it. And she arose at midnight, took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is your son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one, and the other half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and no ways slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She's the mother. That is wisdom. That is a king using the wisdom that God gave him to solve a problem, right? What mother in her right mind would say, go ahead and divide my child? You wouldn't. Your mamas are like she-bears. You even say something bad about your little darling and you jump all over everybody. So, I mean, Solomon knew that child, he was going to figure out which one it was by saying, okay, I'm going to kill it. We're just going to cut it in half and give one half to this one, one half to that one. The mama jumps up and says, give it to her. All right? Now, how does that apply to our lives? I want to show you how to apply wisdom to our lives. Go to Proverbs 3 right quick, and I want to show you what wisdom does for you. Wrong one. Proverbs 3. Verse 13 says, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now listen to what, this is what wisdom will do. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and to all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. That's what wisdom will do for you. But my thinking is we don't understand it. Because if we won't ask God for it, then we really don't understand what it is we're needing. Go to James. Chapter 1. These are scriptures that y'all have heard, you know, so don't turn me off. Because I read this the other day and went, oh my gosh, I have never seen this before. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, that's what we're talking about, right? Let him ask of God that giveth to men, all men, liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. What are we asking in faith for? Wisdom. We've taken those scriptures and separated them. We've always read, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And when we start talking about faith, we jump to verse 6 and go, if any of you ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven by with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But what he's saying is, ask. You're asking for wisdom. Let's read it one more time. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. You know why you got to ask for wisdom in faith? Besides, that's the only way God really works. Is because if you don't have faith, the carnal mind cannot accept the wisdom of God. God will give you an answer, and you go, that can't work. And that is where I think most of the church is. God gives answers and you go, that won't work. That's the carnal mind jumping up and going. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity toward God. Is that true? You know what the word enmity means? Yeah, opposed to, directly opposed to. So God, it doesn't mean that you're sitting there going, God, I don't believe anything you say. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, they use the word enemy, but it doesn't mean like an, it does mean an enemy, but you don't mean to be an enemy. Let me put it that way, okay? It's not that you mean to be an enemy. It's that God is giving you your answer, and your brain is going, it'll never work. So you never apply what God has for you, so therefore you walk through life as a frustrated Christian because you think you know what God's saying, but you don't ever apply it. And you don't ever apply it because you think it won't work. Let me give you some examples. You're going to love this. How many of y'all believe what the Bible says? We're going to find out. All right. We're going to find out. Let me just tell you a story first. Back in, when was it, Tracy? 90, 91? With a car. She had to know what story. Back in about 1990, 1991 or something. When did y'all take over? 93. So it was after 93, because Tracy and I were doing the youth here at the church. So 20 years ago or so, Tracy and I got together, and we were going to Sabinal to pick up youth and bring them back here for the youth group. And I had a single cab pickup, and she had a two-door car. And you can't pick up many kids in those. We didn't have Suburbans at the church. I don't even think we had the van at that time. There was no way to get those kids up here. So her and I started, we just said, okay, we're going to pray and believe God for a vehicle to get those kids from Sabinal to here so we can minister to them. You know what God said? Give your car away. Oh, and now not only the kids walking, we're walking. But doesn't the Bible say, give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom? Is that not what the Bible says? It's what it says. We had been faithful tithing since 1989. That's when I found about it. I don't know how long she'd been tithing while we were married, and just didn't tell me. But 1989 is when I finally got on board. So 4 years, we'd been tithing. We need a solution to our problem. God says, give your car away. I went, okay. But I said, well, you're going to have to tell my wife. I can't. She didn't say give the truck away. I'm driving the truck. She's driving the car. I'm not going to be the one walking here. So a week or so goes by, however long it was. Goes by, and Tracy comes up to her and says, you know, God's just dealing with me. I think we need to give our car away. I went, you got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding me. All right, well, let's write down on a piece of paper who God says is giving the car away to. And if it's the same person, I guess we're stuck. Why? Because the carnal mind is fighting against how God is trying to bless us. He's trying to get us a vehicle to bring the kids from Sabnow to here, but the way he does that, he says, you give, I'll bless you. He's not going to skip that. He's not going to do something else. That's what he says. That's what's in the Word. You can go find it and you can read it. Wrote the names down, same person. Golly. Finally, my wife says, Dwayne, have you ever wanted to give a vehicle away in your life? I said, no, I haven't. She said, it's got to be God then. I went, okay. All right. So we called him up, said, hey, can we come over and talk to you? Sure. Walked over, took the title of that car and signed it over and gave it to him, said, God bless you. Don't know why we're doing this, really. I mean, I know why we're doing it, but that was a hard thing to do. We go, I don't know how far, how long. We were talking about this earlier. I'm not sure how long. I thought it was 8 months. She thought it was less than that. So in a period of months, she walked. Or whenever we went anywhere, we had my single cab pickup with two kids. And that's where we went. But the whole time, knowing God, if you set that up, that was you, you orchestrated that. Anyway, long story, a little shorter, is a guy come up to us, don't know if he really knew the situation, don't know if he really knew what we did or not, but come up there and said, God just told me to buy you a Suburban. What do you want? So he walked out there. He did the same thing we did. He went and bought a Suburban, brought it to our house, signed the papers, everything over it, said, here. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but there it is. Folks, that's how God works. But I'm telling you, your carnal mind will keep God from moving in your life. It'll do it. That's one example. I'll give you another example. Scriptures are, you know, Luke 6:38, Malachi 3:10. Y'all know the given scriptures. Everybody knows them. The question is, do you do them? Because that's where the blessings of God come from. Now, I'm not telling you to go give your car away. I am not telling you that. I'm telling you to hear what God is telling you to do and do it. You say, I need $100 for Sally to go to volleyball camp. Spirit of God may say, give so-and-so $5. Your carnal mind will say, now I need $105 for Sally to go to. That's not, I'm telling you, that's what you're fighting against. That's your battle right there. Go to Proverbs 22. This is a good one. Another way just to find out, are you, you know, how carnally minded are we? Look at verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're going to talk real quickly about raising kids. How many of y'all, you know God? You need God's wisdom to raise kids. Guarantee you. You need God's wisdom. That one says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know, every child doesn't need to be trained up the same way. When I was a kid, in the church that I went to, they made every boy get up and lead singing. Still mad about it to this day. I can't sing. Don't claim to. Can't even clap and keep time. Why in the world did they have me up there trying to lead singing? When there were several of them that were really good at it. Look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now listen. The psychiatrist may say that it doesn't do any good that you're hurting him, that the rod hurts the child. It only hurts his butt. It does not hurt his psyche. If you're sitting there going, my God, I can't do that. I cannot spank my child. It is not politically correct. I can't do it. Carnal mind getting in the way of God trying to help you raise that child. I got one who's 6'7" now. Good thing we whipped him early. Because I don't think I can do it now. You understand? Don't wait till they're 15 years old and try it. You're going to have a fight on your hand. Train them up when they're little. My wife over here. When we were in the military, I was gone a lot. I was not the disciplinary in the family because I was always gone while they were that age. Now, I was when they started getting taller than her. Then she said, you're dealing with them now. But Chad was probably 3 years old, maybe 3 years old. We were living on post housing in Fort Knox, and we had a yard that had a fence in the backyard. About 200 yards over there was a playground. And his mother told him, and I was actually there at this point, his mother told him, do not go to the playground. Well, how many of y'all know that it's your job to set boundaries and it's the kid's job to press those boundaries? That is what they do. If you will hold strong and hold to your boundaries, they will conform to them. Especially if you use that rod. They find out it hurts. So they conform to your boundaries. Anyway, he was in the conforming mode at this time when we were working on him. So she's in there doing housework, doing whatever, and looks up and he's at that playground. He's 200 yards away. Hopped the fence at 3 years old. Boogied over there and he's playing with whoever he's playing with. Well, I step out of the house about the time she jumps the fence. And she's heading that way. I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is not going to be good. He, Chad, sees Mama coming, so they meet in the middle. And she whips him for 100 yards back to the house. You ask him when you see this kid. I mean, he's gone this Sunday, but you ask him next Sunday if he still remembers what happened. 3 years old, he remembers what happened. Made a life impression on him. I went up to his room, said, son, smartest thing you ever done. He said, why is that? I said, if you wouldn't have met her halfway, she'd have whipped you all the way home. You knocked off a good 100 yards of whooping right there. But tell you, I mean, that's just a funny story, but that is, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And just because one of your kids is not serving God right now doesn't mean he's old. You still have time. The word does not come back void. It's going to accomplish exactly what you set it forth out there to do. It's going to happen. You have a promise from God. If your child is sitting there going, you're thinking, my God, they should be doing better. Well, maybe they should, but hold on to that promise God gave you. And those kids are going to come back. They got nowhere else to go. One other story that we were in a restaurant in Radcliffe, Kentucky. And I don't remember what it was. Anyway, we were sitting there in a restaurant. Kids were 4 and 2 or 4 and 3 or however they were. 5 and 4, I don't know. Not that old, were they? Sitting there, and this lady comes up to us after she got through eating. She comes up there and says, just want to commend y'all on your kids. They're the most well-behaving kids I've ever seen. What do? Tracy said, we whip them. You know what the lady said? That's child abuse. And when she was mad, that's child abuse. Tracy said, what do with your children? She said, I put them in the corner. Tracy said, that's child abuse. Bible doesn't say put them in a corner, does it? No, it doesn't. Look at Proverbs 13. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth and chasteneth him betimes, I guess that's a bunch of times. Again, the rod is what is the instrument that God says, this is the way you train your children. That's not the one I was looking for. Let me go back to 23. Go to Proverbs 23, and let's see if I can figure out which one this is. Yeah. It went away. No. Quit. Okay, 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod. Now that word beatest him means strike. It doesn't mean beating to death. I mean, you got to, again, use a little wisdom here. He shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know, that's your job as a parent. Set boundaries. Spank the little darlings. That's what the Bible says. This is the way we did it. This is when the kids were getting bigger. We're back out of the military again, living just north of town. How many of y'all raised boys? They're just boys. I had an old man one time ask me, this is not biblical, but an old man came up and told me one time, he said, you're raising two boys, do not break their spirit. It's okay. So that, you know, you just got to pick your battle. Pick where you say they're getting out of bounds. Anyway, they got out of bounds, whatever it was they were doing. And we had a deal. We had a, what was that, a peach tree? What kind of tree was that out there? Some kind of little tree that had a really good whooper. And we'd send the boys out there and make them cut their own switch. It is hilarious to watch them do that. You got the older one. The younger one just goes out there and cuts one. The older one's looking at him like, no. They're going to hurt us with that one. Pick a little one. You know, so they'd bring one in about that long, and mom would send them back out there. No, go get another one. That ain't going to do. It's hilarious. But I'm telling you what, we raised two pretty fine kids. And the only thing I can say, the only reason, is because we did what God said. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind sometimes what God tells you to do. And if you talk to somebody now, they're going to tell you you're not politically correct. They're going to tell you you're going to jail. They're going to tell you whatever it is. But I'm telling you, those people aren't as smart as God is. And that's the way God says to do it. Now, I have learned some things in disciplining kids over the years. Don't do it when you're mad. Don't do it when you're mad. Go calm down yourself. And then when you walk in there and says, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, it really does. Now Chad's figuring that out. He said, I know what you meant now. One more thing. Through wisdom is going to come your answer. Whatever it is. When we were over there in James, when it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. I believe what he's talking about right there is when God gives you the answer and you go, I can't do that. It just doesn't make sense. That's what he's talking about, being an unstable man, a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So how do you fix that? The good thing is you just find out what the Bible says and you start preaching that to yourself. This is what God says. God's smarter than I am. I'm going to do it the way God says to do it. Even if you, I mean, your brain's going to throw a fit. My brain threw a fit when God said to give the car away. It honestly threw a fit for a while. But you finally have to just come to grips and go, you know what? God set this whole thing up and I trust him. Through wisdom comes your answer, but wisdom has to go through the filter of your brain. This little brain right up here, that's the filter wisdom has to go through. And if it's not renewed, you're not going to get what God's trying to give you. So, I guess the moral of the story is, from the thing Pastor Robert's been preaching for 20-something years, is take the Word of God, put it in your heart, and let it change your life. Let the Word of God steer you in life. And when you go, my God, I don't know if I can believe that. Go to someone who's walked through it before and let them encourage you. We can encourage you on how to raise kids. We've seen it work. You're sitting there going, my God, they're about to drive me crazy. Yeah, that's part of the deal. That's just what they do. That's their job. Exactly. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Got the prayer team? How about the prayer team? Come on up. You know, as we always do, I want to ask you a question. I want to, if you can say, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know that without a shadow of a doubt, raise your hand. If you know it, you go, yeah, that ain't no doubt. Okay. If you did not or could not raise your hand, then you need to come with one of these up here, along with any other thing. If there's any other agreement you need, prayer you need, that's what we're here for. They want to get into agreement with you, pray with you, and watch God move in your life. I mean, you know, it's a frustrating walk when you don't see God move, is it? It's frustrating. You read the Word, you find out what's supposed to happen, and you see it not happening. Well, the problem is not on God's end. It's on our end. We got to find out where we're missing it, get in step, and that's where you see God move. Amen? Amen. Well, stand up. Father, I just thank you for the word that was spoken. I thank you that it's a seed that goes forth, that it goes out, it does not come back void, but accomplishes exactly what it was set forth to do. Lord, I ask you to bless these people today. Lord, I ask if there's any concerns, any agreement that needs to happen today, Lord, that Holy Ghost, that you just make that happen. Bless these people today in Jesus' name. Amen.